So this is OS202. In terms of...
gentlemen, track sessions are about to commence. Could you please make your way to your chosen session? Thank you.
In terms of agenda and objectives for this session, we're going to get through Fast Track Getting Started, the onboarding process, and the adoption offer. We've also got some resources and next steps we want to talk to you about. So over to you, Ben, for the customer lifecycle.
Thank you. So whilst people are still streaming in, so basically, Office 365's not new anymore. It's actually been around for a bit. And what we've seen is a whole bunch of information is coming back from, effectively, about 500,000 organizations are now on Office 365. And so what comes with that is, I guess, patterns of the service, customer satisfaction being a key one throughout the phases of this. So. So what does that look like? Well, initially there's the what we call the envision phase, which is here's the vision that you're buying into effectively. And to start with, that gets people pretty excited. They can see what we're doing. They can see the benefits of cloud-based productivity. They can see what the future is going to be like. They can see what Microsoft is doing. This is one of our biggest areas of innovation. So the first couple of phases, typically the envision and then the evaluate. They'll go, right, yeah, that sounds really good. I'm buying into that vision, okay, I want to have a look at it. That's the key thing. I want to start actually evaluating it. And then they start to, when they purchase, they move to the rollout phase. So you've got this plan and onboard, essentially, that's occurring. Now, what we've seen is that the time between when they've looked at it, they've had a look at it, they've bought into the vision from when end users start to use it, which is what the green represents, which is basically the number of users who have adopted and starting to use the service, we've seen an interesting customer lifecycle behavior effectively. So first of all, customer satisfaction is really high. Customers just love the fact that they're buying into this. They can see what they're getting. They're really, I guess, enthralled. But the delay in actually using the service, the onboarding component, before they can actually get their hands on it, the end user saying, when am I going to get 365? They get a bit disgruntled. You make people wait, they're not going to be happy. And that's a truth. That's a truth across the globe. So yeah, fundamentally, that's what we've seen. Once they start to use the service, once they get their hands on it, once they actually can use it and see it and have it on their devices and all that goodness, effectively, they're away they go. So in line with that, we have two kind of facets of our Fast Track program for Office 365. So first of all, it's Fast Track for Office 365, funny enough. And what that is that's about helping you through that envision phase, but also into the onboard phase, because we want you to move faster to actually adopt the service. Because we know that the longer you wait, the longer your end users wait, the longer your customers are waiting, then effectively, there's a chance that satisfaction is going to start to go down. People are going to get disgruntled. In addition to that, we have also a limited offer to help you adopt and move quickly. So we'll be talking about these today in a little bit more depth. So hand over to Mark.
Okay. So the two components that we're going to be talking about is Fast Track, like Ben said. So what we've done is we've built an onboarding center. So this is a team that will work directly with customers to assist them in onboarding to the service. So depending on what your environment you're on, you know, we'll help you build your identity. We'll help you build the actual tenant. We'll set up the tenant for you. We'll do the DNS things, and we'll assist you through this process. Now, all of this done is done through a remote engineer working with you. It's a dedicated engineer assigned to you as a customer. And we'll onboard all components of all workloads of 365, right? And then the second part of Fast Track is this adoption offer we've got from basically it started on the 1st of September and goes all the way through to the 31st of March 2015. This is where you can work with us to onboard you and do further remediation migration tasks, or you can work with a specific partner of your choosing, right, who's a cloud deployment partner and can help you through the process, the change management, the remediation, and all other tasks that you need to get on with 365. So how does it all fit together, right? So to front the fast track components, we have a getting started process. This process is where we will provide you with a tenant. This tenant is a production ready tenant. You can treat it as a pilot if you like, and then you can our aim is to get you to production as soon as possible. So there's no difference between a pilot tenant and a production tenant. In this getting started process, there is IT-driven business scenarios. So you can use the content that we provide you, and I'll give you a demo of it, to get you started and get you moving quickly through the process, right? So there's readiness, there's both IT Pro readiness and help, as well as for users. Once you've gone through the getting started process and you're happy with it, you're ready to purchase, that's when the onboarding team will work with you. We'll do a current state assessment. We will provision your users. We will do a check of your environment through some tools that we have. We will enable your identity in the cloud, and we'll also get your mail flow up and running to Office 365. If you have software assurance and you have the planning day vouchers, you can use help from a partner with an exchange of those vouchers, either a 3-day or a 10-day planning services engagement, where a partner can come and help work with you to plan out that migration to 365, right? And so at the end of that, you'll have a planning document that will detail for your environment how you move to 365. So I'm going to go through some more of the getting started, what the getting started process is about. And Ben talked to this slide about our motivation to get you consuming the service and getting you basically onboarded as soon as possible, right? So we want to move that curve and get your users and the IT pros happy with the environment, right? So like we were saying, there are basically two streams in the getting started. There are two types of content. There's the IT Pro content, so there's getting started, there's the deployment labs, which I'll go through in a minute. There's the deployment, a couple of deployment plans as well. And then for your end users, there are different workloads and scenarios that you can have your users go through. There's also training labs training videos and some excitement kits as well.
So that all comes with the tenant?
It does all come with the tenant, and what we'll do is, so when you work with us through the fast track process, we will provision this content for you in the tenant, and then you can decide, you know, how much of this content you want to share with your users, and then if you want to, you can keep this content for as long as you have that tenant, or for as long as you're on the service, or you can also decide to delete it, right? But what we find is that customers like to use this as an example for their users. It's content that's structured well, and can be a reference to how other teams in your company can use this content.
So just to clarify there, when we say us, one of the key things about this is we also mean partners. So partners are a key part of this. There's a portal, a fast track portal that Microsoft and partners have access to. That's how you get a fast track tenant. That's how you actually get this content, this type of tenant, get going for your pilot. So partners are incredibly important in this process. Just interested, how many people here in the audience would be partner, would consider themselves a partner? Okay, so it's a good representation. So, so we'll kind of talk a bit to partners, a bit to customers where it's appropriate, but just putting it out there that partners is actually hard-coded into this process.
All right, thanks, Ben. So in terms of getting started for users, I'll give you a quick demo of what this looks like.
Change?
Oh, yes, please. So here we have an example of an HR and internal comms site, right? So we have different content in here. So this is structured. You can change this the way you like. It's example content, sample content that you can reuse. So for example, we have a video here. We have an events calendar. We have some HR links internally. We've got some documents that HR have shared. There's career openings. And some more content. What's more is then we've also got the IT Pro content, right? And so here is where you can have a look at the process of getting onto 365. So there's administration, there's change management, there's a service description, as well as fast track tasks. So here's a project plan that you can use once we get there. There's a project plan you can use to actually onboard to 365, right? So all the tasks that you would need for a typical organization to get onto 365. So there's a pilot phase, you know, where you're going through and creating users, adding services to the tenants, you're configuring services, then you move to a deployment phase, where you're deploying different components of the service. And then you go to an enhanced phase, right? So where you're building things like single sign-on, multi-auth to the service, as well as hybrid environments. So I'm going to switch back to. So that gives you an idea of what the getting started process is, right? We also have a fast track management app. So this app can writes up reports. So, for example, it tells you the number of users who are using the service. It can also give you feedback on how what users think about the 365 environments through responding to surveys. So there are surveys built into the Fast Track environment that users can respond to, and you use this app to consolidate those reports. Here, there is also the option of using. So you can stand up more scenarios. So we went through the HR scenario, but there's an R&D scenario, there's a sales and marketing scenario, finance and accounting, legal, and IT, right? These are all different scenarios catered for the different types of users you have in your environment. What's more is we have the ability for the IT pros to run labs and get used to and train on how to deploy different things like ADFS, how to cover things that Ben covered in the previous session, which was, you know, the Pro Plus deployment. So this gives you an environment to play with. And what you do is you either use an MSDN or a paid Azure subscription. And what we'll do is we map the virtual machines to your subscription, and you can use that as a lab replacement, if you like. So it's all cloud-based, no resources required internally, and you're running up these scenarios and you're learning off them. And what's more is you can reset them and start again. So if someone else wanted to run through this, say if it was the ADFS scenarios, right? So you can test this as it would be in your environment. So all of this is all managed through. So for partners, this is all managed through a single portal where we can look at deployment plans, and we can upload deployment plans and manage the deployment plans that way. So I'm going to hand it over to Ben, where he's going to cover the onboarding process.
Okay, so we've been talking a little bit about that first step, which is, I guess, we want to have a look at it, we want to do a pilot, but we haven't yet bought it. So the point that we now go from is I, or you, have just bought the service. At this point, part of what you've bought is the onboarding center, the Microsoft Onboarding Center, which is a new thing. The Microsoft Onboarding Center, fundamentally, is a center which I'm not sure of the numbers. I've heard they've hired 300, they're looking at 700 engineers, highly skilled engineers, whose only job is to help customers smoothly move to 365. But it's effectively, it's the onboarding component. And there's as part of the service, it's called a service benefit. It's not an offer, it's not it's not something that's an extra, it's part of the price. What you get is access to expertise. So let's dig a little bit deeper into the onboarding bit. You've bought it. How are we going to help you move to Office 365? So this is the part, this part of the presentation is talking about what is included in the service. We'll also talk a little bit later on what's called the adoption offer, which is a limited time offer that's going to help you migrate data and actually move workloads. So there's kind of a distinction there that we'll dig into. So as you see on this graph, the onboarding component happens after sale, but before users start to actually use it in anger effectively. So this is that bit, which is getting your stuff into shape, whipping your infrastructure into shape, getting all remediation ready to go, so that you can then either engage with us or a partner to actually start moving and using it in production. So fundamentally, what is onboarding? I'll let you read the slide. I'm not going to read it out for you. Think of it as a white glove service. The moment you buy the service, there's going to be some engineers trying to contact you saying, hi, thank you for buying Microsoft. Thank you for buying Office 365. How can we help you move to the service? So first of all, it's a dedicated engineer or engineers that are going to help an organization who's bought sufficient, I think it's 150 seats is the minimum. So that's a key thing to note. It's going to help the organization move. Now, what does that mean? Basically, it means fundamentally, it's going to be guidance, documentation, support about the things that need to occur for you to actually use the product. Office 365 involves identities, on-premise directories, on-premise, yeah. Essentially, at the end of it, there's a remediation checklist that's provided. In terms of who's doing the work, that's still potentially you, but what we are doing is we're providing tools to do analysis of your Active Directory, for example, to make sure that you're in a position to go, to provide guidance about what your next step should be. So it really is, think of it as an extra level of support to help you move to the service. So that's fundamentally what it is. I call it a white glove service, which is hi, welcome, away you go. So what does that kind of mean? Well, first of all, let's talk about the eligibility. So you have to buy at least 150 licenses. Now, the one thing that you need to note also is that not all licenses will get you this. It's probably easier to say the ones that I don't think don't classify, which is the small business premium, and the mid-size would not be sufficient to attract the onboarding center benefit that you get. But that means anyone that's looking at E1s or E3s, E4s, A3, A4 in the academic, if you're buying just Exchange Online plans or SharePoint Online plans, or if you've just bought Office 365 Pro Plus, or even just OneDrive for Business standalone plan, that all qualifies you for this. And effectively what you get is help to onboard the services you've bought. So if you've bought, say you've bought E1, we're going to help you move SharePoint, Exchange, Link. If you've bought E3, it's those plus 365 Pro Plus, and of course Yammer, although Yammer is part of E1 as well. So we're going to help you move the workloads that you've bought. So I'll get prepared to move, I should be clear. So that in terms of what are eligible, it's the services you've bought, and I think I've covered them all. So Exchange, SharePoint, Link, Office 365 Pro Plus, OneDrive for Business.
There's also Yammer. Well, right? So we'll help you. We'll also help you set up SSO with Yammer.
Yep.
Or any other Yammer configuration that you need help with.
And the other thing is that there's a limit. It's not an indefinite thing, but once you initiate the process, there's basically a need to move within 12 months for the to be able to continue using Onboarding Center. So at its core, there's a couple of things that are going to be involved. The first one is activation of the tenant. Now, you already may have a tenant through the fast track work that was done previously. This is going to be making sure that you've assigned the right licenses, that it's all ready to go, that you can actually start getting users with the right license attached to it. A key part of this is always identity. So one thing with Office 365, the first thing you should be thinking about is identity. Quick recap of identity. Azure AD is our platform for identity. That's what we attach licenses, services, capabilities to. Getting that identity there is key. If you have Active Directory on-premise, Directory Sync or FIM or the recently released AD Sync services, Azure AD Sync services, they're the ways that you get that identity in Azure AD. To that identity, we attach a license. So fundamentally, that's where customers want to get to, because when you attach the license, then the services become available, whether they be Exchange, Pro Plus, etc. So that's key to part of this, is helping you get to a point where you can deploy DIRS Sync, where you can deploy a sync service of some sort to get those identities in the cloud. So there's a lot of guidance. There are tools that we run to help you get to that point. And of course, the last thing is a remediation checklist. Not everyone's environment is up to date or without issue. The reason why this is important is that the standard of data that we allow into Azure AD is a lot higher than the standard that you probably can do with AD on-premise. And it's because it's a multi-tenant environment. We need to make sure that the data is clean, that there's nothing that's going to cause issue. So the synchronization process can can stall. If there's, for example, you're using illegal characters and names and may be permissible on AD, we won't permit it on Azure AD. So that's the kind of thing a remediation checklist is going to do. What's the stuff you need to do before you can actually start to get to a point this is actually a usable service? So let's drill down a little bit further again. So for each workload, there are specific tasks and specific activities that are going to occur around this. And what that is it's dependent on the workload. And of course, you have to have bought the workload to get it. But if you actually read through these, I'm going to read them all out, it's fundamentally about setting up, enabling, provisioning, configuring, but you won't see migration there. The migration's not part of this. It's about making sure that identity's key again to all of these particular workloads. It's about making sure that the service is enabled. What are you going to do with regard to site collections in SharePoint Online? Okay, we'll help you explain, if you need it, how do you actually get that delegation of authority working. So you get access to expertise. Again, that's the number one thing you get with the onboarding center, access to that expertise. Stuff with Yammer, for example. We're going to help you move from Yammer Standard to Yammer Enterprise. Because that's part of the service, it's very important from an enterprise point of view to basically write, we now control that Yammer environment rather than it sort of running free in the wild with no controls. So they're the workloads that we do, and fundamentally you'll see a commonality between the actual each of those workloads focusing around configuration and preparation. However, there are, I guess, limitations is probably not the right word, but there's a scope of work that the onboarding center works to in terms of what they will do and what they will provide. And we know that Office 365 projects are generally larger than what is being provided. And there's a lot of extra stuff that needs to occur. So first of all, the plug for, there's a service description now for what the onboarding center provides. So I would recommend going having a look at that. So just go to Bing and type Office 365 onboard center benefit, probably service description. That will should be enough words to get what you need to get. The stuff that the customer or you and your partner are still going to need to do is the following. And so what we did is we took these and we broke them up into groups. Now we'll call out, there's an appendix to this slide that you will have access to, which has a lot more detail, rather than bombard you with micro font for 40 minutes. We've kind of summarized it. Once you get the deck and download it, you can see the detail of these slides. The summary slide basically groups them. So there's technical stuff that's still going to need to happen. So identity management. We will help you get identities into Azure AD. But if you need to incorporate it into a bigger identity type solution, that's something that you're going to need to work through, or the partner is going to help you do that. So we're not going to solve your identity management issues. Our job is to get an identity into Azure AD. So that's an example. Mobile devices, we're not going to be talking or helping you procure devices or set the devices up. That's something, again, that you need to do. So you kind of see that there's a limit in terms of what's done. Network analysis specifically, we're not going to determine if your network's healthy or not. We'll do connectivity, making sure you can connect to the service, but we're not going to be recommending, okay, you only have a 1 megabit pipe, you should be buying this sort of thing. So that's still something you need expertise around that stuff for. And of course, SSL certificates, if you're setting up hybrid mode and other things, you're going to need to buy them yourself. It's the non-technical stuff that usually is also really important. So fundamentally, change management, stakeholder management, project management, decommissioning. I mean, you're going to have stakeholders that are going to own the project. So they need to be managed. It's not something we're going to be doing. We are going to be working with IT Pro and with the partner to do this stuff. So we're not going to be reporting back to your CEO or your board about how it's all going. That's something that you need to do yourself. Likewise, with project management, we're not providing a project manager. Potentially, they'll be part of the work, but that's not something we provide. So you kind of see here that this really is an extension of the IT Pro function in an organization to help them move, not a rounded managed service or managed solution or a solution per se around Office 365. Communications and training, that's stuff that needs to happen within every organization. We're not going to be training end users. We provide you stuff in the Fast Track portal that you can give to end users, that you can use, but we're not going to conduct that training. Likewise, security is always key, and if the next session focuses on security, we're not going to be helping you update your security policies or telling you what your security policy should be or advising you on how you should implement data classification. So fundamentally, that's kind of the stuff. Again, the policies you need to, and documentation that you need for your organization, we're not going to be writing for you. So that's still something the partner or customer needs to do. We will provide you with a remediation checklist, but again, that's for IT Pro. That's not necessarily something that you would give to the board or the stakeholders for the project. So specifically with identity, what will we do? What won't we do? Again, customer partner responsibilities. So if you need to redesign AD, you're an organization that has basically been merged from 50 different companies and your AD is all over the place. We aren't going to be saying, okay, here's a design that's going to fix everything. That's something that customer with the partner is going to need to sort out. So if you need to use custom attributes, if you've got specific group policies, etc., that's all stuff that still needs to be done and is not part of the service. Likewise, in terms of disaster recovery, that's not something we're going to say, here's a design for you, for your specific situation for, around disaster recovery. There's a kind of a requirement stuff analysis that needs to happen. In addition, there's other preparation stuff that you'll need to look at. You know, are your firewalls sufficient? For example, do you have enough external IP addresses on a firewall or a proxy server to handle the number of connections that you're going to be doing? Now, that's something that we can give you best practice or we can show you some technical articles for, but for your specifics, you might need to procure more IP addresses, more firewalls, more external edge devices of some sort. Again, that's something that you're going to do. When it comes to messaging, pretty much we're going to help you move to a coexistence model, but we're not going to actually do the work. With the exception around hybrid, we're going to help advise you how to configure Exchange Hybrid. But if you need it to work with existing applications, a big example here is, say, I'm going to pick on BlackBerry. So BlackBerry older BES servers require direct MAPI access. We don't give you direct MAPI access with Exchange Online. Okay, so how are you going to resolve that? So that's something that you'll need to sort of work through. When it comes to Domino and Notes, not an area I'm very familiar with, but what I can tell you is that we won't be helping you synchronize identities, we won't be helping you get identities from your Domino platform into AD. That's something you need to have sorted. We assume there is Active Directory ready to go. You'll need to get to that point. Yeah. And lastly, if there's sort of more advanced identity capabilities, that's something that you'll need to look at as well.
And this is where the adoption offer comes in, right? So if your environment doesn't fit in the framework that we can work to, you can always use the adoption offer, which is available until March. So the adoption offer is where you engage a partner to cover off those environments. So if you weren't in a single forest, you weren't at 2003 level forest level, or you had other configuration, you had multiple forests, you would need to work with a partner. But what we do is we give you the option, right? So whether you use a partner or use us, right? So for your adoption offer. So what we'll do is, so like Ben said, so any customers over 150 seats, you have the option of we will do the email migration for you, or we'll give you funds, which is calculated based on $15 a seat for the first 1,000, and then $5 after that for you to engage a partner, or we will help you engage a partner to achieve that migration to Office 365 for your email or other components that you need help with, right? Whether that's project management of the onboarding, data migration, any remediation activities that you need to perform to your directory or to your notes environment or to your Exchange environment. We'll also help you to stand up Yammer, Link, and SharePoint for your environments too, whether that's a migration or that's a fresh start for your environment, right? So back over okay. To you, Ben.
So I don't know about you, but I like pictures. We can throw all the PowerPoint at you like and throw you all the facts and throw you lists and whatever. Here's a diagram that we tried to put together to explain this. So fundamentally, customer has purchased Office 365. They get a choice. They have an election in terms of this adoption offer. First of all, they've worked with the onboarding center to get to a point they're ready to migrate. So that's the first thing. At this point, they then have an election. They can either elect to use a partner, at which point, as Mario said, there's a cash value that they can then pass to that partner to do a bunch of work. And the scope of what they can do there is fairly broad. Or if they just want to migrate email and they qualify for essentially standard email migration techniques, they can elect to not use those funds and have Microsoft do the mail migration for them. And that's not limited. That's all mailboxes that are covered by licenses. So there's this choice here that a customer has to make. Ideally, a partner is going to be helping them to make that choice, the one that makes sense for them. But at this point, the kind of, if it's not clear, they either choose, okay, here's some cash, very broad scope, go partner, or we just want mail migrated, all of our mailboxes, and we don't have a complicated environment, then Microsoft will do it for them. So here's kind of what it looks like. So, first of all, customer decides they're going to go, initially they come on board, and they may not be interested in email initially. We have a lot of customers that are focusing on SharePoint Online more and more. That's kind of becoming more and more the rockstar product. Email, it's a mailbox. It was here, it was there. But we get a lot of people interested, I want to use SharePoint. I have all this SharePoint goodness. How do I use it? So they decide, okay, up front, they're going to use the adoption offer to engage a partner, at which point there's effectively a coupon. It's not a real thing, but you know, it's like a coupon that has a dollar value. And they cash that in, and they decide that they're going to actually bring a partner on board. So they choose that, and they choose this fork in the road. They go down this path. Now, up to the amount that they're entitled to, they can then give that cash to the partner. They may top it up. You know, it may not cover everything. It may cut part of it. It's completely flexible. And then the partner is able to do pretty much anything that leads towards deployment of Office 365 workloads. And that's probably the key thing. If it goes towards SharePoint, Pro Plus deployment, Exchange Online even, even OneDrive for Business, even Yammer, I suspect,
yep.
That's the flexibility that the partner model gives. It's a case of, okay, here's your coupon, please help me, Mr. Partner, away we go. So the flexibility option is very much tied to the partner. You get the money, give it to partner doesn't work for you. The other option is, okay, we are just moving mail. We are a basic environment. We have Exchange, a modern version of Exchange. We don't have a complicated environment. We can do essentially, I hate to use the word, commodity-based email migration. It's more and more that we're seeing those sorts of services. There are ones you can actually buy and rent off the internet that will do it for you, that are automated services. So mail migration of simple environments has become a commodity market. That's kind of a blunt fact. If a customer, either yourself or your customer, decides we just want to move mail and it's basic, but we want everyone, whether it's 150 users or 150,000 users, they can elect to basically use Microsoft email migration services. So again, it's attached to that onboarding center, but effectively we have our own tools and our own automation to migrate mailboxes, and what you migrate depends on the version of Exchange you're on, for example. The more recent the version of Exchange, the more stuff will migrate. So that's a key thing to note. So fundamentally, that's the key thing. Customer chooses what is the best path for them depending on their specific circumstances. And that's the essence of the adoption offer. There's this kind of fork in the road decision that you can make. Take the cash, go to a partner, or take the offer and just get Microsoft to migrate all your mailboxes. So start to see some of the stuff that's included in this thing. There's also a service description about what's included with the mailbox migration. There are some, so we'll do from Exchange 2003. Anyone here still on Exchange 2003?
Good to see you.
Excellent. That's a happy day. So unfortunately, not all my customers have moved off. So I call it a version too far. But we do support it from the onboarding center. What you migrate as part of that, it's a reduced set. If you're on Exchange 2010, we migrate pretty much everything. So what we'll do is we'll work in terms of trying to make sure that the schedules are going to work, and essentially it's like a mini project that our guys will work with your people and make sure that you're sort of in a position to migrate appropriately. The approach that we take will depend on what you have. Clearly, if you have Exchange 2010 and 2013, you can take advantage of the hybrid mode. So I'd strongly recommend you look at Exchange hybrid mode. It gets you the best migration experience. It gets you the best end user experience when it comes to mail migration. If you have that in place, then you're going to get the best and the most possible amount of content moved. Pretty much the only thing that we need to call out that's common across all of them is a limit of 25 meg per mail. So this is where some of the prep work is. What's your current limit of email? If it's more than 25, you might need to go and actually say, okay, well, we've got a bunch of mails that people have been sending over the last how many years, bigger than 25 meg. What do you do to fix that? Okay, so that's something that may preclude you from this because that requires specialist work. How do you deal with those big emails? We do see some interesting numbers, including unlimited in terms of file size attachment, unlimited. That's a challenging organization. Now, and the other one, of course, is there are some facets of public folders that will not migrate. Some public folders can be, some can't. So I'd look at the service description in terms of what is and isn't included. The further back you go with the Exchange version, then you'll see the number of preclusions increases. However, if you don't use Exchange, then what we migrate gets thinner and thinner. So if it's just an IMAP source, it's just the mail. That's all we move. If it's notes, there's a couple of extra things that we migrate. So this is all part of that Microsoft migration component in terms of what you get. Again, if it falls outside of that for your particular organization, then you've got the cash option for a partner.
Okay. So some related content to this session that are on this afternoon. So there's the security, privacy, and compliance session. And then there's another session that we go through more detail on regulatory compliance and Office 365. And then there's, at the end of the day, there's an Office, a Power BI session. Now, some track resources that we wanted you to have is, so there's a lot of content up on Ignite. So an Ignite is training we're providing in November and in December. It's free. It's a 3-day training. It's free to attend. So aka.ms AusIgnite, the URL down there to register. Other than that, there's the Office blogs, great place to go to for content. There's the Office Trust Center, the content in terms of the security content around all of Microsoft services as well as Office 365. And there's also a new Office 365 Customer Success Center. So this is adoption content that we have there. So it's user training and IT pro adoption content that's up there, which is on Fast Track. So to augment the session as well, so we've got an appendix section here with a whole lot of details on how we will support, what is supported in the onboarding process and further detail. So I think that's a wrap for this session. Was there anything else that you wanted to cover, Ben?
No, I guess this is new. It's and I guess what we've allowed a lot of time for questions. That's the thing, is that because it is new and it's still being formed. I think it was only launched 1st of September. Sorry.
Correct.
It's that new. The limited offer, the second part of the Fast Track, is valid until 31st of March. The onboarding component is now a benefit that will be in the service ongoing. But I guess what we might do now is we need to sort out some microphones and some headsets so we can do a bit of Q&A. Right. So if you bear with us for 30 seconds, we'll...
The mic's
where's our helper gone?
I'm gonna have a look.
If anyone's got a question, I might come and I'll repeat it. Anyone, first questions, let's just start questions. Okay.
Sorry, just getting hold of a mic now. Any questions? Who wants to start?
So the question was, are a lot of people using the migration services or are they going to partners? I think since we're 36 days into the program, we're still trying to, it's that new that I guess we don't really have an answer around that. So we'll probably get some of that telemetry over the next couple of months, I suspect. But because it is so new, we've never offered this before. We've never had this white glove service to help people move, and also a migration capability. That's something that we've always been hands off, and now it's a case of, okay, well, for the commodity stuff, here's an option. I don't have any numbers for you. So.
I'll take the question there.
Just regarding the onboarding service, how can we get contact with Microsoft to sort of pursue this if we have customers that ask for it? We just want to know how we can go about that.
Sure, good question. So what we do is once a customer has made a purchase, within 30 days, the onboarding center will actually contact the customer and we'll get started on the process. So a dedicated engineer will contact the customer and get started the process of onboarding that customer working with the partner. Any further questions?
Do you see any time in the future where tenant name change will be part of this process? So mergers and acquisitions, tenant name changes, that sort of stuff? Because it's a royal pain at the moment.
The question was about tenant name changes. Short answer is I don't know anything that we're doing around tenant name changes. That's the challenge is the one thing when a tenant is created, it's effectively becomes the barcode for that customer. And the tenant name then gets replicated through all of our systems. It's pretty much the identifier for the platform. So that's fundamentally why changing it is not an option today. I suspect maybe a subtext, and correct me if I'm wrong, around the question is that when you have a fast-track pilot, sometimes you'll say customer name pilot, or you'll put some sort of, the tenant will be created with a view to being a pilot, and then there's all, that age-old thing that's been in IT for so long, which is, oh, pilot's now production. Why has my SharePoint URL got the word pilot in it? At this stage, we don't have any sort of easy change to tenant type capability. So I've got no answer for you there, but it's certainly something that we're aware of. It does come up a lot. Certainly not part of this initiative or this process. Will there be an ability to change the tenant name from blah, POC to customer real name or something?
Where can I get hold of it? Configuration guidance for TCP/IP protocol?
Sure. So as part of the service description, we can share that details with you. If you want to Yammer me, I can share that with you.
If you're an existing customer, say you've got 100 licenses and then you amalgamate with another organisation and they have 100 odd staff and you buy another 100, that gives you 200 licenses. Will that cover you under this as more than 150 but not bought at once?
I don't know. That's going to be a transaction question. I'm going to relay that question to Mario, which is, scenario where someone has 100 licenses already and then they acquire an organization, they buy another 100, will they qualify?
At this stage, they won't qualify for that.
Okay. Getting a lot of exercise today. It's good.
Currently, for not-for-profits, the E1 is actually for free. Is this service actually available to not-for-profits under that scenario?
It's a great question. I'm going to refer to my colleague again. The question was around E1 for not-for-profits. If they buy E1, which is free, will they qualify?
E1 is part of the package, but we'll have to check for not-for-profits. So, if you want to yammer me again, I will check for you.
Yeah.
Also, you can also come to the stand, and we can ask Michelle Markham.
And there's people on the showcase that should be able to help you.
Thanks.
Would that apply to, I guess, E1 and E2? That would apply to E1 and E2, but is there any services available for, education doing the free Office 365?
Yeah.
So if I want to migrate to Link, but I tried to do some stuff the other day, but the list of requirements you need to do and all the stuff you need to put in your DNS is pretty overwhelming. What services are available under those plans?
Okay. I'll tell you what. If you want to come to me at the showcase, I will find out for you. I don't have an answer for you right at this moment. Are there any other questions?
Any other questions?
If there are no further questions, I think we'll call it a wrap, and thank you for attending the session.
We'll stick around here if you've got any others. But thanks for your time.
Thank you.